The text for this morning is the book of James, chapter 1. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. And dear fellow redeemed in Christ, troubles always come where Jesus is Lord in heart and home. So wrote Nils Jakob Lacke in his devotional, The Book of Family Prayer. Troubles always come where Jesus is Lord in heart and home. Do you believe that? Is it true? Do troubles follow where Jesus is? Well, let's begin by looking at the life of Jesus himself. And what do we find? When Jesus was barely a toddler, King Herod sought to kill him. And in order to try and make sure that he got Jesus, Herod killed all the baby boys, 2 and under, around Bethlehem. When Jesus started his public ministry, he was tempted by Satan 3 times. Jesus, throughout his ministry, is being asked to cast out demons time and time again. His first sermon in his hometown of Nazareth resulted in the people of that town trying to kill him for blaspheming God. After Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, the chief priests and scribes decided Jesus must die. And as Jesus was dying through public execution on the cross, he was mocked. Come down from the cross and we'll believe in you. Troubles and trials certainly followed Jesus. But what about after his ascension? Stephen, the faithful confessor of Jesus, was stoned to death because of that confession. James, the brother of John, was executed by the sword on the order of another King Herod. St. Paul had a long list of trials and persecutions he endured before his own execution, as one who confessed Jesus Christ as true God and true man, Savior of the world. Those who followed Jesus had troubles and temptations. Will trouble, trial, and temptation be the part of a Christian life today? Well, yes, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. In other words, we are to expect these trials and temptations. Martin Luther summarized these in his large catechism when he commented on the 6th petition where Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation. And Luther said, temptation is of 3 kinds, of the flesh, of the world, and of the devil. For we dwell in the flesh, and we carry the old Adam about our necks. He exerts himself and encourages us daily to unchastity, laziness, gluttony and drunkenness, greed and deception, to defraud our neighbor and to overcharge him. Next comes the world, which offends us in word and deed. It drives us to anger and impatience. No one is willing to be the least. Everyone desires to sit at the head of the group. And then comes the devil, pushing and provoking in all directions. But he especially agitates matters that concern the conscience and spiritual matters. He leads us to despise and disregard both God's word and works. He tears us away from faith, hope, and love, and he brings us into misbelief, false security, and stubbornness. Or on the other hand, he leads us to despair, denial of God, blasphemy, and innumerable other shocking things. Now, these temptations do not come from God, but they are used by God as endurance tests, ways by which we are directed, nudged, maybe even pushed to rely more and more on God's promises of grace, on his pity for our fallen race, on the forgiveness of sin won by Jesus at the cross, to rely on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead for our salvation. These temptations show us how weak we are and how dependent we are on God alone for the certainty of our salvation. We cannot find the victories we think we should have. We fail when our flesh encourages us to sin. We fail when the world lures us into anger and hatred of the neighbor. We fail when the devil comes to obscure God's word or to bring us to despair and even denial of that word. We fail when we think we have the ability to handle these on our own, as if only we would try harder or maybe give more to the church of our time and treasure, then our lives certainly must be crowned with success, with earthly riches, with a life free from temptations. James wrote, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." Endurance is not about our competence. Withstanding these tests will not be done by you or me and our strength. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our victory is in Jesus who has overcome the world. Our resistance to Satan is found in Jesus who defeated Satan's temptations and stepped on the head of that serpent of old as he died in our place on the cross. Our hope is in the third day when Jesus rose from the dead and won the crown of life for you through his victory over death itself. Here are some of God's promises for you. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Yes, troubles come where Jesus is confessed as Lord and Savior. But what else would we expect? Jesus said, "Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." To be a Christian is to be part of the church militant, the church at war. And it is a serious business, one that requires our attention, our dedication, our confession. To confess Jesus before the world, exactly as we will do shortly when we sing the Te Deum, right? In a minute or so here. So we're told to endure, to stand fast. And this directs you to Jesus, the one who stood fast for you, the one who endured the cross and shame for you. Believe him. Trust him with your life, for that is where you receive what nothing else and no one else can give, the crown of life, eternal life, heaven itself. God grant you such endurance in Jesus' name. Amen.